to the May 2025 episode of In the Distance Oblivious Playlist Podcast. It's a podcast about music
by two people who love music. She's the springtime fling time Phoebe Fowler.
And he's the allergy sufferer Big Al Hammond. Every month, we pick 11 songs of pretty much any genre or any time period that we put into a changing Spotify playlist. Our podcast talks about some of the songs that we pick and anything else about music that might come into our heads.
Our podcast is never intended to be overly professional. It's basically unscripted, just two random people sitting around talking about music and why we often like,
but sometimes dislike,
each other's music tastes. Welcome to May. Spring is here, Phoebe.
Spring has sprung.
And this, what do we do? Spring has sprung, the grass is red, I wonder where the flowers is.
I don't think I've ever heard of that.
I literally said that to you in the last...
You did?
In the last podcast.
I have forgotten.
You have forgotten. Spring has sprung, the grass is riz, I wonder where the flowers is.
See, Riz means something else nowadays.
It does. It does. It's probably not something we should say. Now we have to mark our podcast as explicit.
Oh, it's not that kind of Riz. It's like, oh, you have Riz. Like, you have game. Like, you are...
That may be your Riz. I got a whole different Riz over here.
This is why language is important. Right. In context.
I got Riz right
important.
Here in my pants for you, baby.
All
right.
Well, now it's R-rated.
Thank you very much. Anyway... welcome to May 2025.
We made it.
We did.
We made it out of the season of depression.
We're here. Well, I wouldn't go that far. I think we made it into May. I think don't be count your done Riz
the sun doesn't,
chickens.
Oh my God. The sun does not set at 4:30 now, so
that's,
you know.
Yeah. No, that's
slightly
a very, that's
slightly
a very
less
happy
depressed
thing to have some daylight in the evening. It's for us, it's not quite camping season, but we're
getting there.
We're on the verge of it being camping season, so we're excited about that. We don't really have any live music that Mm-mm. we have eminently planned.
You know, we could do some more research on that. I'm sure we could find some people to listen to go see this month.
And we could, you know, there are always little local people that we could go see that we should take advantage of more. How are you feeling about your picks? How are you feeling about my picks? Tell me, sum up your suggestions
right.
in a paragraph.
So I feel like I say this every time, but I started off this time actively disliking my songs.
Yeah.
And was not looking forward at all to picking because I wasn't excited about it, right? Like it's not as fun. And I've since changed my mind a little bit. And mm-hmm. There's a few of mine that I like a little bit more. But I don't know. I wasn't super excited about mine this time. Yours, on the other hand, I really liked.
I didn't like mine as I was assembling them. And then after I got them assembled, I was like, wait, these are good.
Yeah, and you got some good ones.
I said to you earlier, I think I've made a mistake that I have submitted too many that I like too much.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping that you might help me out a little bit with picking some of the
ones. That's the thing. I didn't know what I was supposed to pick. Like, it's funny. It both seemed obvious what I should pick, and also I was completely lost as to what to pick.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
this one will be interesting to see what we both thought of such an odd playlist.
That's fair. Yeah. I don't think it's odd. I think both of ours are sort of hard to pick.
They are hard to pick.
I think mine definitely feel hard to pick for me, but I think yours, I had some trouble with yours too, deciding what to pick. We are in the process of instituting a new little feature to our playlist Picking Foolishness. So we've always kind of done this. We've always sort of attempted to guess what the final vote would be.
Yes.
And we have now, we're in the process of instituting a new, we have Frank, who is awarded to the winner of who gets the most correct guesses.
Who I have forgotten, of course, once
right,
again.
Right, right. Phoebe, again, has forgotten to bring Frank. We're also working on a new, some sort of a negative prize for, to give to Phoebe
yes.
each time she forgets Frank, which
That's
happens
fair.
On a recurring basis. so that maybe
maybe we're like a dunce hat.
No, you know what we should have?
What?
We should have a little jail.
Am I going to be put in jail?
No, that you have to put Frank into
for the
next month.
Oh, no.
So that'll be your motivation. Like, you need to keep Frank out of jail.
Yeah.
Because
Poor
if
Frank.
You forget to bring him, Frank has to spend the next month in jail.
I don't want Frank to be hardened by life, you know?
Right. But anyway, we're in our infinite geekdom, we are working on a new thing where it's not only how many you get right, it's how many you guess that you're gonna get right. Is that a good way to sum it up?
I think so. I needed, frankly, like a little graph. I think
we need a graph, and we also need to write down. We're deciding not only how to do this, we're also deciding what to call it. But we're also deciding on the actual scoring criteria.
Yes.
Like whether to value who guesses the correct winner or to value how many points are correct. That's not a good way of summing it up. I didn't do a good job. Point being, it's complicated and we don't know what we're doing.
It's also... added to the fact that we are both competitive.
Yes.
So
yes. We're both competitive while pretending that we're not.
Yep.
I think that's the key. I think the key is that we're very generous, kind people to each other who
yes,
both
we
want
are.
Each other to do well.
Exactly.
I want you to do well. I want you to get your songs in that you want to get. At the same time, I want to kick your ass.
Yep.
Right.
As long as I'm right and my
right,
things are
right,
in.
Right. I want you to do well as long as I do just slightly better. But anyway, yeah. So we're thinking about, like, what's a good song reference for voting or picking or selecting?
Picking, guessing correctly.
Yeah.
So I said... the Guess Who.
Yeah, we're thinking about something having to do with the Guess Who, mm-hmm. like the Burton Cummings Memorial Trophy or something like that.
And of course, it has to be somebody that we actually like listening to.
Yeah, yeah. We found some references to Iron Maiden and Poison and bands that we hate, the bands that I hate, bands that Phoebe probably has.
I don't look. don't come for Iron Maiden. I know that's like you have your feelings about it, but
oh my God.
Anyway, there. Let's just say
yes.
There wears a face, and I'm gonna leave it at that.
Anyway, we're still deciding on a lot of these things, but that is something that is in the works to make our playlist and our podcast even stupider than it is now. What else we got to talk about? Anything else? What's going on? What's new? What have you been doing? What's new in your world?
Well, I had COVID.
You did have?
I was
You did have either
unwell.
COVID or something very similar to it.
Right. That sucked.
Yes.
I had a lot of downtime.
I've been dealing with some allergy stuff. And also had surgery and all kinds of...
We kind of took turns of just
yeah.
we've kind of
been out of
commission.
And as a result, you know, we should say this now. As a result, we don't really... We have even less prepared
yes.
for you than we usually do.
Do not be surprised if I have literally one or two things to say.
Right. So this may be a short one, and it may be even less interesting than it usually is. So we're going to take a little break, and we're actually going to pick the songs, and then we'll be back after this and discuss which songs got in. Thank you. Congratulations to Phoebe Fowler.
Yay.
The score was actually 8-8, but because we have our little tiebreaker, swirly ball of confusion, which Phoebe now holds or held, actually, she is declared the winner. Congratulations.
Yay.
We both got 8 right. We both got 2 wrong. So we're doing this new little feature where we guess, we write down ahead of time what we think each other will score. And it's a little sort of contest within the contest because we're geeky that way. And I will reveal that Phoebe thought I was going to get 8 and she was going to get 7.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to read what I thought?
Well, Al thought he was going to get 7 and I was going to get 9.
So we're both wrong.
Correct.
We both predicted the other would win.
Correct.
We tied.
So we're both wrong.
We're both wrong, but I think you win because I was off by a total of 3 votes, and you were only off by 1. No. Yeah. Right?
No. Yes. No.
I was off by 2, and you were off by 1.
But I still got who would win incorrectly.
We both did.
Yes.
We both were wrong on the who's going to win. But the tiebreaker being who's
right.
closer in total points.
So it's like winning the squirrely ball. It's a tiebreaker. So it doesn't really feel like.
No, you won based on the fact that you were closer on points. That's like the next tiebreaker.
So what happened was we both tied. We both got 8 and 8, right?
Correct.
Okay. I guessed that. What did I guess?
You guessed 8 and 7
right.
for me. And you were right that I got 8.
Gotcha.
But you were right. only off by 1 that you got 7. And I was off by 2 saying we
were smart enough.
you won. You won that one.
Why do I feel like I didn't really win?
Congratulations, Phoebe.
Yay, thank you.
Let's dance them up for Phoebe here. Thank you. So let's jump right into the songs. Our first song, I was joking with Phoebe that it's a good thing that I spent 5 seconds looking up the correct pronunciation for Kieran Lavery before we started our picking process. And she ended up picking Kieran Lavery and Joshua Burnside doing We're Looking for a Hit from Kieran Lavery's 2024 album Light Entertainment. This is Kieran Lavery's first appearance, but Joshua Burnside's 4th appearance in our playlist. Kieran has released a number of albums and EPs dating back to 2013, and this is from his most recent album.
Our second song is our all-star pick. Because I won, I had Big Al choose between this song and Bright Eyes Floated With You All My Life. So this is Anastasia Sunday, a single released in 2024.
Also a really, really wonderful video of her doing this song solo.
Our next song is Paloma by Layla Diane from her album Looking Glass, released in 2022.
Our fourth song is the wonderful Daniel Norgren with Rolling, Rolling, Rolling from the album Wu-Dang in 2019. This is his 3rd appearance with us. He had the wonderful Dandelion Time and Everything You Know Melts Away Like Snow. We love him so much and we're so glad to have him back with us again.
Please play in Virginia. Our 5th song is by Danica, Better Weather, from her album Down Love in 2023. This one was my pick.
Up next is Southern Point by Grizzly Bear from their album Vacetimist in 2009. I hope I'm not terribly butchering that album name up. This is actually Grizzly Bear's first appearance as Grizzly Bear, but Daniel Rawson is an old playlist favorite. He's been in once by himself, twice with Department of Eagles. The album Vacetimist was named after a tiny uninhabited island on Cape Cod that the band visited and was inspired by.
Our seventh song is Steely Knives by Early James from his album Medium Raw, released this year in 2025. This will be his third time in the playlist. He was previously in with Real Down Lonesome and Tumbleweed.
And he was with somebody else for somebody once.
Sierra Ferrell.
That's right.
Down Lonesome.
Yeah.
Yep.
Good stuff.
And Sierra Ferrell is playing later this year at the Friday Cheers in Browns Island in Richmond, Virginia.
She played Friday Cheers once before.
She did. Not? She's played, this will be her third year, I believe.
Wow.
I know, right?
Cool.
So we can't miss her this time.
We need to go to that one.
Up next is The Innocence Mission with their song Today from their album Small Planes, released in 2001. This is only their second time in the playlist. They were previously in with Green Bus from our famous November playlist in 2020. Our next artist is Beth Orton with her song Pass in Time from our album Central Reservation, released in 1999. This one was definitely one of my favorites.
One of mine too. Our 10th song brings us two of our very favorite artists, Nathaniel Rateliff and Gregory Alan Isakoff. The song is Flowers. It's a single from this year. This is Nathaniel Rateliff's sixth appearance with us. Isakoff, this is his fourth. This song they've co-wrote, and they've been working on it for over 5 years. It's interesting that they have known each other since the early days of their careers, and they both grew up in the same music scene as, would you like to guess, another favorite act that we have featured in our playlist that is from the same area?
I don't know.
I'll give you a hint. Queen of the Surface Streets. They are all from the Denver area.
Oh, my God.
The same as Devotchka, wow. One of our very, very, very favorite bands.
That makes me like them all a little bit more.
Yep. They initially wrote this song as a demo around Rateliff's 2020 solo album, but it remained unfinished for 5 years until the two of them revisited it again recently, and we're very glad they did.
Yeah, this song, in my opinion, is perfect.
And it's also an absolutely beautiful video that you should check out. We'll close this playlist with an artist who we got to see recently, who we love so much, Jeffrey Martin. His wonderful song, There Is a Treasure, from the album Thank God We Left the Garden, as Phoebe says, a wonderful album title. From 2023. This is Jeffrey's third appearance with us, and we're so happy that we get to feature another one of his songs. And the trees will bloom down. So congratulations. You did well.
Yay.
I did fairly well. We both did well.
I mean, I thought I was going to get 7 and you were going to get 8.
Yeah.
So. I did better than I thought.
I think we both did okay. And eight's a good solid score.
It is. There's nothing wrong with eight.
There's nothing wrong with eight. Talk to me about songs you're glad you got in. What's a song you really love that you're glad got in?
Well, we kind of already said, but I'm really glad that you liked the Beth Orton Passin' Time.
That's my favorite of yours.
I loved it.
Yeah. We were saying.
I mean, I liked it, but it's one of those. I don't know. I didn't know if you were going to like it as much as I was. You know.
We were saying during the break, like I think I liked it partly because, like, it's instrumentation wise, it's super tight and professional, and their voices are a little less so. Their voices are a little raw, and I won't say unprofessional, but their voices are a little rough, and that kind of adds to the charm for me.
Yeah, I really liked it.
Yep. I love that song. That was one of my favorites. And I was saying to you, like, I have four that I really, really, really wanted to get in.
Did they all get in?
And they all got in.
Yeah.
And I'm very, very happy about that.
Good for you.
Yeah. That was my goal, more so than winning, was to get all four of those songs in.
Well, my favorite, it's so hard to pick.
Yeah.
My favorite of yours is either that Nathaniel Rateliff and Gregory Alan Isakoff, or it's the Grizzly Bear. But very close to that is Jeffrey Martin.
Uh-huh.
And I got all of mine of yours that I wanted in that needed to be in. So,
well, I was saying this to you earlier, like, I had four that I wanted to get in, and I was reasonably sure that you were gonna like both the Nathaniel Rateliff and the Grizzly Bear.
Mm-hmm.
I was reasonably sure you were going to like them enough that I felt like I didn't have to pick them, because maybe you would.
You did not.
And it worked out. I picked one of those two.
You
but
did, yeah.
Only because you picked something else that I was going to pick before that. So it all worked out great. And this was a rare one for me that I got all five of my votes correct. Usually if I get
That's true. Yeah, you did. I'm looking at it right now.
It's because I get more of yours right than mine. But this was a rare time. Also, we were going to say, this was a rare time that we always submit 10 songs to each other. And in the week between when we submitted them and today when we picked them, one of my songs vanished.
Yep.
One of my songs is no longer available on Spotify.
And this has happened before.
It's happened that songs have disappeared, but only after the fact.
Yes.
There's
not before.
I know there's a Tom Waits song that has disappeared over the years. And why Spotify does this, no one is ever quite sure, but it probably has to do with rights being revoked or contractual things or legal things that we don't understand. But anyway, the Ben Harper Little Feat cover, Roll 'Em Easy, disappeared. We decided to just not replace it.
Yes.
Maybe it'll come back. Maybe it won't.
And that entire album disappeared.
I believe it did. Yeah. Uh-huh. And that's probably a legal dispute of Lil George's estate, or somebody's lawyer, or somebody got pissed off at somebody.
Somebody didn't agree.
Whatever, right. Were there songs of yours or songs of mine that didn't get in that you would like to discuss?
I don't really have any complaints.
Uh-huh.
I just want to know what you thought of the Route 500. Padum padum.
Padum padum.
Padum bum.
I think when I first heard it, I liked it a lot.
Same.
And then the more I listened to it, I was kind of like, I'm not really sure why I liked it.
Yep. Uh-huh. Yep. I kind of thought similar, and it was like, there's elements of it that I like, but it's not doing enough for me.
Yeah.
It's kind of one note.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't think that's a bad thing. It's just when there's other interesting things going on.
The weirdness of it appealed to me, but it didn't quite have anything else about it that appealed to me enough. And tell me what you thought of the Dean Johnson True Love. Like, we looked at the video for that, and that's a sweet little funny video.
I had submitted it knowing that I was going to pick it. Uh-huh. And of course, the day of, I changed my mind.
Right.
However, watching that video, now I kind of wish that I did pick it. It's just, whenever Dean Johnson gets submitted, I don't know, it just gives me pause. I want to listen to it more, appreciate it more. And I'm always happy to see his name come up.
He's one of those songwriters that, like, makes you appreciate the craft of songwriting.
Yes.
And just the wonderful, weird little subculture that these people live in. Like, I'm so wishing that I could, like, spend a weekend sitting around drinking bourbon with him, you know?
I just wanted to play some songs.
Yeah, yeah, that's fine, too.
I'd like to be in the room.
So I wanted to say one thing about somebody that did get in, and this is just me making a strange comparison. Daniel Norgren reminds me of Julia Jacklin. Let me tell you why.
Okay.
Like, and we love both of them to death, and they've both been in our playlist a bunch of times, and we think they're both wonderful. They're both less than over the top amazing about their initial, they don't blow you out of the water with anything. Everything about them that makes them amazing is, to me, undefinable. I can't tell you why I love Julia Jacklin. I can't tell you what about her makes her seep into my soul.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they both are so understated, but there's such magic going on in both of them that I don't know what either of them has, but it feels similar in that it's like the songs are simple musically. The lyrics are not overwhelmingly complicated, mm-hmm. but there's something in the way they present themselves that makes you...
This is why I love
that
music.
That makes you... dive in.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And makes you believe it, and it, like, gets in your soul somehow.
That's well said. You're right. Yeah, it's just that unexplainable quality that I don't know. It's like they just, as soon as they open their mouth, like, you are forced to just pay attention to what's going on. And it's like with when I first heard Julia Jacklin, I was kind of like, oh, okay, I like this. You know, this is mm-hmm. nice, whatever, you know. But the more you listen to it,
yeah,
like, oh wait, I'm obsessed with this. I can't tell you why I am, but I really love this. And like, there are times where it becomes more clear, where it's like, oh, the phrasing is really nice, mm-hmm. and like you could feel mm-hmm. their entire soul, mm-hmm. their whatever they are going through, whatever, behind everything that they're singing. But it's, I don't know, it's part of what makes music. Yeah. And why you want to listen to music.
I would disagree with your sentence when you said as soon as they open their mouths you buy into it, because I don't think that's the case. I think you have to live with the music and live with the song and let it become a part of you before you really, at least for me, mm-hmm. before you really totally buy into it. But I just, to me, it's like, I love people like that, oh yeah, this is a good song. Oh yeah, this is a really good song. And then all of a sudden it's like, I kneel down before you and promise you my everlasting love. Yeah, that's good stuff.
Both people I would love to see again. And at all.
Yes.
We have seen Julia Jacklin.
One again, and we would love... Daniel, if you're out there...
When are you coming to Virginia.
Or even the
what's
U.S.
When's it happening, buddy?
We love that you're from Sweden. We applaud that you're from Sweden. But come over on this side of the pond every once in a while. So yeah, this is our unprofessional, unprepared episode, which we didn't really have time to think about what else we were going to talk about. So we just thought we'd kind of talk about some bullshit. Phoebe, tell our listeners a little bit about how you came to love music, what your musical background is, what you listened to as a kid, how did a woman like you get to have such amazing musical tastes?
We'll start with background, because that's what I remembered. I don't know. Like, I think a lot of it has to do with my upbringing, sure. My relationship to music as a child.
Sure.
And I grew up in a place where me and my siblings, we all learned pretty young an instrument, right? And mm-hmm. It was the violin. We all started out with that and either moved to cello or viola or whatever we ended up moving to.
And do you remember how old you were when you first started playing?
I was in elementary school. Uh-huh. I was pretty young. Yeah. Probably like 9, mm-hmm. I want to say.
So like
8?
4th grade, 5th grade?
A little younger than that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Cool.
Yeah. So I started out with that, but my parents were very much musical people, creative mm-hmm. type people.
And you always had music in your home. You
know, always music in the house. Yep. Initially, a lot of classical music, a lot of jazz, a mm-hmm. lot of opera, show tunes, which you love.
It plays a lot. Yes. Uh huh.
It was very much just a musical household, right? Yeah. And I don't really remember a time where music wasn't a significant part of our lives, mm-hmm. right? Regardless of genre. And that was another thing. Like, my parents were both very much people that liked learning about everything. So mm-hmm. we kind of listened to everything and read everything, you know? And that's kind of where I started out, right? So I always had this idea of finding things that's different, interesting, and I wanted more of that.
Uh-huh.
And music was just one of those ways where I could express that need and that want. I don't know, so it's kind of just, you know, I guess once you play an instrument, you kind of develop an ear for things.
Yeah, and I think you develop an ear, but you also sort of develop a sense of what it takes to be good at music. And if you're not good at it yourself, at least you right. have a sense of, like, it's not just like tunes coming out of the radio. It's like people putting their hands on an instrument and getting a feel for it, which
yes.
I think it's so cool when kids get an exposure to that.
Oh, I agree.
It's interesting to me, too, like, as somebody who came from a household where there wasn't much musical variety, I'm so jealous that that kids like you grew up in a household that there was that.
Yeah, it was really always a part of our lives. Mm-hmm. And maybe it was because of that. I mean, obviously, that's not the only way that people come across music and love music and music becomes part of their lives. But for me, it was. And it was always going to be something that was going to touch me
uh-huh.
in a way that other things... I mean, it's yes, it's music, but it's also my interest in learning about things that are different from me,
mm-hmm.
or
mm-hmm. Yeah,
it could be art, it could be anything.
In every aspect, not just music.
Right.
Do you remember when it transitioned for you from hearing a variety of music recorded to when you would go out to see live shows? Either, whether that be classical, jazz, whatever performances, or seeing rock and roll popular kind of acts.
I definitely remember being interested in seeing live groups and things, and I I very much had my phases that I would go through where it's like, okay, so like it wasn't necessarily the only thing that I would listen to. I'd hear other stuff on the radio, whatever, but it was like, this was where my focus was. So for these 4 months, this is what I'm obsessed with, and this is what I'll pay attention to, kind of stuff. And
I mean, all kids are like that.
Yeah. But it's like, oh, right now I'm obsessed with
System of a Down.
System of a Down, or similar music, right? Or I'm obsessed with these, like, classical musicians, and that's all I want to listen to. So, like, my siblings also went through various music programs and things, and we got tickets to stuff, so I would see a whole bunch of classical music, right? Uh-huh. And I saw tons of different people. And then after that, it's sort of like what I had access to, what I could get to at the time, but I spent several hours, hundreds of hours, thousands of hours online just watching music videos, not necessarily music videos, but just searching for
whatever music
different
artists, find,
right? And
which is something we still do today.
Right. And I always had an interest in just like, okay, this person inspired this person. Okay, well, where does that come from? And what does that structure actually look like? And like, how is that connected to this? And what era did that come from? Right? You know, you're basically rabbit holing, and you go far back enough that you end up somewhere in the before times, you know.
Absolutely.
I don't know, but it was very much kind of a game of just, I don't know, it was always interesting to me, always trying to figure out where things came from in the history of things, and
and what influences what, and
whatever.
Do you remember, like that? And like, this is like, if you asked me the same question, the answers would be incredibly embarrassing, but do you remember who the first live acts you saw as a kid?
Definitely classical music.
No, that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for embarrassing shit. Like
no, dead ass. That's like the first.
Yeah, I know. But like when you went to see concerts, do you remember?
I did not see many concerts. So the first, if we're not talking about like, for years, like I would just see people that played at my church, and then I'd see classical musicians or jazz musicians playing, and like the Virginia Symphony.
You didn't go see anybody embarrassing as a teenager?
No, I did not see rock groups or anything else. Damn. And it was just like, one, who was I going to go with?
Scoop. Yeah, I know. And like, your parents probably frowned upon that.
Not necessarily. It's like, you know, everybody has, parents are weird and relationships are weird, whatever.
Sure.
But I wasn't going out to see the Beatles of the time or something, you know what I mean? However, this was significantly later. I was high school. I did see Lionel Richie.
You told me that. Yes.
I don't consider that embarrassing because I had my phase. And it wasn't necessarily a Lionel Richie phase. It was just music of that time, whatever I was super interested in. And I don't know, it just made me happy to see that. And I don't care if it was, people say it's like, oh, so-and-so is past their prime, whatever. I don't care. The tickets were super cheap. It was a nice day. I was outside. I had fun.
What was the venue?
It was the Intello's Pavilion, when it was Intello's Pavilion in, gosh, I forgot where. In the Tidewater area.
Uh-huh.
I forget exactly which city it was in.
I didn't know there was an Intello's Pavilion down there.
It was Intello's, and then it changed to...
There was an Intello's Pavilion in Charlottesville for a long time.
It was not that one.
Yep. And so this is an outdoor amphitheater kind of place.
Mm-hmm.
And tell me about Lionel's band. Did he have an orchestra? Did he have like a R&B kind of band?
It was sort of like an R&B kind of band. It was pretty cool. I also just remembered, I saw around the same time a Pink Floyd tribute band.
Ooh.
As well.
Do you remember their name? Like,
no.
Yeah.
I don't. I could probably do a little bit of research and find out who it was, but I enjoyed that too, you know? Like, it's, I get that there is such a thing as people that you have listened to, that you saw, they're like, wow, that was a little cringy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, one of my first shows was John Denver, so, you know, like, I got nowhere.
Again, I had a John Denver phase, though. Like, it was just, I find it hard to completely disparage all of it, because it's an experience, right?
Phoebe, can I tell you something?
Yeah.
You fill up my senses. Anyway,
go ahead.
I
still like that song.
I know you do.
I don't know. It's just being able to see music live is, it's an experience.
Absolutely.
It's something that I can't necessarily explain. I'm happy to be there. And yeah, it's, for me, frankly, if somebody takes me to like some house music EDM show, I'm not going to be too happy about that.
Right.
But that's not my thing. However, I'm out there seeing live music. I'm with probably people that are there and excited and having fun. It's a different kind of energy.
Yeah, even if you're not 100% into the music, it's a great thing to see live music, and
yes,
we applaud that in all instances.
It's kind of, I don't know. You said that you were jealous of my upbringing, this musical household upbringing,
mm-hmm,
but I don't know. It's kind of, how did you develop your own music tastes if you were not surrounded by that? And obviously, I get that, like, in some ways you had to, out of a sense of, mm-hmm, I mean, if you're not going to, who's gonna? But there are tons of other people that probably grew up in a similar household that don't really care about music that way.
I was fortunate to have older siblings who were more musically aware than my parents, at least. And my brother, I think my brother, in a totally positive way, kind of took it upon himself to educate me a bit.
Yay.
And he did it in a way that was maybe slightly more palatable to my parents, meaning like we use the term, today we use the term classic rock to mean music from the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, classic rock was sort of like classical rock, like,
okay,
rock,
yeah,
that had a classical,
right,
sort of influence, meaning like I remember two albums that he bought me were an Emerson, Lake and Palmer album, and they had a lot of classical, mm-hmm, influences, Keith Emerson in particular, and the Moody Blues that did sort of orchestral kind of things. And that, I think my brother thought that was going to be more palatable to my parents.
That'll get you started.
Yeah. But my siblings were cool in that they sort of took a little active interest. And then, frankly, you know, back in those days, it's like you didn't have access to music on the internet. And if you heard stuff, more than likely it was on the radio.
Right.
And I spent a lot of time just listening to frickin' Top 40 radio and going to the local department store that had an album department,
mm-hmm,
and just looking at albums and deciding, oh, this looks kind of cool. I wonder what this sounds like.
That is a very unique experience. And it kind of makes me sad that we don't do that today. Because it's like, I get that, yes, you can find easier stuff by, like, you know, through Spotify or other,
right,
algorithms. But there is nothing like sifting through,
yeah,
a bunch of albums or CDs. And you're like, oh, let me try this and whatever. And you find something that you really like.
Yeah.
And you just completely get obsessed with that artist.
Well, and it's also, I mean, you said it's a unique experience, but it wasn't. I mean, back in those days, that was kind of the only way you,
gotcha,
that was the only thing, unless you had friends that were, and you know, like, sometimes you go over to friends' houses and listen to their albums,
and they'll have a bunch of different stuff,
you know, and they'll have different stuff, and you'll get turned on to different stuff. But it was so hard to find music, and there wasn't there wasn't as much music easily available, you know? There wasn't as much music at all available, really. But certainly not easy to find.
Sounds a little sad.
It was kind of sad. And it's amazing that as much good music got made and got heard, considering how hard it was to find music, mm-hmm. I think, back in those days. But, you know, obviously the whole industry has changed drastically, in some ways for the good and in some ways for the bad, but it's a completely different landscape now than it was when I was a kid and even when you were a kid.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, when I started listening to music, finding my own stuff, streaming was just starting to, like, become a thing, right? Mm-hmm. And you could use iHeartRadio, you could use Pandora,
right.
Napster, I use that a lot.
Yep.
All that kind of stuff.
Yeah, the music industry changed a ton when you could easily copy an album onto a cassette.
Man,
you
yeah.
know, like that got that was a way to, like, share music with your friends. And then obviously when you could get music online, mm-hmm. that changed everything.
I remember going to the library and getting a bunch of different CDs and stuff, just looking through them, like, oh, sure, let's try that out, that CD or whatever,
yeah.
and copying it onto, like, a disc and making basically myself mixtapes to, yep. like, listen to.
Yeah, same. Yeah, there was a library where I lived that had a ton of music on cassette, and, like, I got into lots of bands
mm-hmm.
just from, like, copying cassette. Like, I had a, what do they call them? A dubbing deck. Yeah, and it had two cassette players, one cassette player and one cassette player recorder.
Yeah.
And you could record from one cassette to mm-hmm. another. And that was like, ooh.
I remember seeing those.
So you could copy your friend's cassettes. But anyway, I think the point is, like, we came from pretty different backgrounds. We have sort of remarkably similar musical tastes in a way that's a little scary. But it's so much fun making this playlist and talking about music, and thanks for that.
Yeah. I think it's more than having very similar musical tastes, which we do mm-hmm. at freaky times sometimes.
Yes.
We both really, really, like, deeply appreciate music.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, it was never going to be, music was never going to be something that's just in the background, mm-hmm. something that I don't pay attention to, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when people say, it's like, oh, I just have the playlist running while I'm doing things, I can't do that, because now I'm paying attention to the music and nothing else, right?
Right.
I get
right.
involved, I'm in it. And I think that's something that we share.
Yeah.
Which leads us to this playlist and this podcast that
exactly.
we're doing.
Exactly. That's kind of why we're here. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thanks for listening. Both our Spotify playlist and our silly little podcast are updated and released around the first of each month. We're recorded every month in the warm and cozy hug of the OML Studios in downtown Manchester, Richmond, Virginia.
If you enjoy our podcast, please leave us a review wherever you get your podcast and subscribe to our finished and ordered playlist on Spotify by searching for In the Distance Oblivious.
You can visit our podcast home on the internet at itdo.name. Email us any questions or suggestions at music@itdo.name.
Thanks to 1792 Small Batch Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey for help in recording this month.
Our theme music is from Red Eye by E's Jammy Jams. We find a lot of great background music from Blue Dot Sessions, and all of our music credits are listed in our show notes.
Thanks to Daniel Norgren.
Thanks to Beth Orton.
Thanks, Joe.
And thanks, Frank.
Please keep listening and tell your friends.
rolling down the line.
That wasn't terrible.